Hey folks, today I want to tell you a little bit about aquaponics and how you can use it to increase your food security, decrease your grocery bills, and clean up your food so you're not worried about stuff falling from the sky on your veggies. This is good, clean, it can't be any fresher when you're growing yourself food. Let's check it out. All right, so I met a guy just the other day who is very cool. However, he expressed an interest in aquaponics and said that he'd even picked up some stuff to try and build a system, but he hadn't started because he was too afraid that he wouldn't have enough time, that it would take too much time once he got the thing started or when he was trying to get it started. This is great because I know exactly now what I need to talk about here today as part of my Grow Your Own Food Challenge. You know, as we enter the Grand Solar Minimum, we are seeing food shortages across the globe, regional catastrophic losses of crops. We saw 70% of the wheat yesterday coming out of Australia was lost, 25% in the United States. These are troublesome numbers, and we all need to be working immediately to start producing our food. Aquaponics is one way that is quite easy to learn and employ, and can be used in a small space, doesn't require much capital, and it's actually fun and grows really clean, like I said, clean, great, fresh food. So that's why I wanted to share some of that discussion today. Now, hydroponics is the, you know, the baseline. If you wanted to strip it down even further and you just think about a model where you have the only input to your system is the nutrient solution in hydroponics, and the only output you get is the plants that are going out of them. Usually you're still circulating the nutrients in a water, you know, mostly water, but a little bit of nutrient solution through a system, and then you get the plants. But the more you know about plants, the more that feels wrong. That just doesn't feel like you've got, you know, there's a lot of magic going on in the root area that if you just feed directly through a nutrient solution, you don't give the chance for that to be expressed. And that means that your plants don't have the opportunity to be as robust as they are, certainly in soil when they have a nice bacterial and fungal support system. But even in aquaponics, and I grabbed some water from my system and stuck it under my $6 microscope. So you can see here, it's full of things that are already moving around. This is 1200X. They're moving around and jiggling stuff and actively working on whatever it is they're doing in there. This is one of the reasons I prefer aquaponics, is because I feel like it is a more natural solution. It's more of the goodness of nature and the natural processes rather than trying to just top off with nutrients and then check the numbers and dump if you have to. I mean, it's just hydroponics is like a very, you're playing with that, all the things yourself. Whereas with aquaponics, you really trust the system. You trust the nature of the system, and you maintain the balance and that your finger on, your senses together on. So let's talk about this a little bit more. The biofilter is the heart of the system. There's really three components that are going to be working together, but I want to start with the biofilter because it is the less obvious, the less seen part of it, and really the most important of it. You know, the thing I worry most about suffering in my system is the biofilter, because if it takes a hit, then everything is set back for weeks to months while it rebuilds, and then the levels return to normal. And, you know, you have to cycle your system. So backing up a second, what is cycling your system? If you've done aquaculture and you keep fish, you know that when you first start a system, you just got tap water, basically clean, whatever, clean, nothing water, no bacteria in there. And when you put the fish in there, they start peeing out ammonia, and that ammonia is going to build up for a while. And you can't let it get too high or the fish are going to die, so you start dumping the water. But as the ammonia is in there, they just come out of nowhere, start metabolizing the ammonia and turning it into nitrites, which is the NO2. So ammonia, NH3, is turned first into NO2 by the biofilters. Then the same thing happens. There's a buildup, a second spike, so that we've seen now ammonia go up. Then there's a second spike of NO2, the nitrites, and then the same thing happens. A different kind of bacteria comes along and turns those nitrites into nitrates. And that bacteria colonizes your system, and then you've got these two, fundamentally those two, but many more in practice, those two forces working for you on your behalf, turning the fish waste into nitrites and then nitrates. Nitrates is what your fish, what your plants are going to eat out of the system. So you're already seeing that there's a fundamental circulation here where you feed the fish. That's the only input to your system is your fish feed. The fish are going to pee out ammonia, which the biofilter will metabolize into nitrites and then turn into nitrates, which feeds the yummy plants in your system. And that's the output, is the food. And there's nothing else that you need to do once these things are running and you've got enough plants in there to be cleaning out those nitrates, then you don't need to be doing water changes. In fact, whatever's in your system is great. That's got it's nutrient-rich water. You want the plants to be in it. You can take it out and put it in other places, like your hydroponic system, to increase its resilience. But that's it. So that's the basic 1, 2, 3 components of the aquaponics. And the biofilter is really, I think, the most important. It's in reality living all over your system. It's throughout the water, and that's why you can take a bit of water and jumpstart another system with water from an existing one. But the vast majority of those bacteria are going to be on the media beds. So if you've got media beds, then they're colonized all throughout there. That's your biofilter. All those bacteria are in all the crevices and in that media. And you know, if you're running a deep water culture or NFT system, deep water cultures are those big vats where you see the floating styrofoam and the little net cups dipping into them, and they're permanently submerged. And so it's highly oxygenated water, lots of bubblers down in there. It's a big, slowly moving vat system, deep water culture, versus NFT, which is the pipes with the holes drilled in them. And I'm running a couple of those systems. Those are super clean, super easy, but they don't have, you know, there's no room, there's no opportunity for bacteria to colonize in those vats or in the NFT pipes, which is why you would need to have a media bed somewhere or an explicit little biofilter that's full of media that the bacteria can colonize and be very happy and perform their duty there to run that system. All right, so now, again, going back to the question. So this is a little bit of an introduction to aquaponics. I hope that was helpful to set the tone for the root of the question that this guy's fear. You know, never let fear guide your decisions. That's just a general answer, I would say. So if you're afraid that aquaponics is going to be, that you won't succeed, or it's going to take too much time, or maybe you'll hurt a fish, yeah, maybe you will, and maybe it won't work, you know, and God forbid we actually learn something from our failures and then try again and become better at what we're doing. That's the process of learning. So don't let fear stop you. Get started, especially, as I said, given the tremendous acceleration of crop losses and the demise of modern agriculture. Please start now. As I said, this is going to ultimately, running this system takes me less time than making a trip to the store to buy these vegetables. It's easier, it's cleaner, it's cheaper, it's better. I don't have any complaints with my aquaponics. To answer his question about concerns that it may take too much time, and specifically to my point that it's takes me now less time than it does a trip to the store, the only maintenance, it's basically maintenance free, and when I say basically, I will now be very specific and tell you exactly what that means. The worst, you know, the biggest thing to consider is that you do need to keep your media beds clean. I have the swirl filter above the media beds to help do that, to help preclude any dirt from even getting to the media beds, so that I don't have to clean them as often. If you ran from your pump straight into your media beds, you'd get a bunch of, you know, nastiness and fish solids and stuff like that, and you would gunk up your media beds and the bell siphon. That'll get clogged up too. So that's why you want to have the swirl filter in there, forgive me there, to keep solids from getting to your beds in the first place, ideally. But the swirl filter isn't perfect, especially a tiny 5-gallon version of them. A lot of stuff still floats by there. So that's why from time to time you are going to need to just dig in there. You know, this is good to do after you clean out an area of your beds. And I'm going to explicitly recommend that you do a bit of your beds at a time if you've got media beds. Because if you clean it all at the same time, you're going to churn a bunch of junk through there, and your fish are going to have poor water quality for some time, and they might get sick, and you jeopardize the health of your system if you make big changes. It's all about the balance here. That's what we're talking about. So only clean a little of your beds at a time, and that also saves you some time. So if you do like a quarter of your bed every 3 months and then rotate around, in effect doing the entire thing annually, I think you'll be fine. I haven't had any problems with that so far. The swirl filter depends how much and what kind of food you feed, how much stuff gets pulled through your pump and sits in your swirl filter. If it fills up quickly, then you know you might need to clean it once every week or two. But if you don't overfeed and no solids are getting in there, if your water's pretty clean, then the swirl filter should stay relatively clean as well, and then you're good doing it monthly or whatever, you know, whatever, on demand. The other thing I'd offer there is that there are models of swirl filters where there's a drain over the bottom of the filter itself, and so you can turn a spigot and open up that drain, and it will just suck out all the solids that are at the bottom of the swirl filter, which means you can do it in place without having to turn off your pumps and disconnect everything just to clean up that filter. So that's a nice design if you have the luxury of including that on your swirl filter. All right, and then that's basically it as far as real maintenance of the system. Obviously, you have to feed your fish. That's fun because they come up and they're all hungry and friendly and they like it. And then you're going to put plants in the system and then harvest them when you're hungry or when they're ready. You can't, you know, this, again, with the balance, if you, you need to be conscious when you do this. If you are removing mature plants from your system, then you're taking out some of the capacity of the system to metabolize nitrites. So nitrates. So you need to, just to be very clear there, so you need to do it a bit at a time. If you harvest all of the big plants at the same time, then some of those nitrates are going to stick around and you might risk the fish building up that level too much. So, in fact, I just harvested a bunch of stuff from my beds so that I could put down a few rows of new plants, things that are going to be started there and then move to various places and stay there. And as a result, right now, I have to underfeed my fish. I'm just aware that I'm underfeeding my fish a little bit because I know if I kept up what I was doing before, they'd be producing nitrates at a level that the system just can't keep up right now. So at first, if you want to do these things very quantitatively, you know, there's tests, nitrates, ammonia, nitrate, all of these things, there's tests for these things, and you can, you know, use Excel for as long as you need to. At some point, you will just internalize a sense of how your system is doing and what the water looks like. And once you get there, and this is why I say start now, it's really quite comfortable and quite easy and fun. So yeah, it's not a huge time commitment. A couple more things just to help you get started, because I really hope that you go out and look at the literature. Check out Murray Hallam has a huge series, very popular, and most of his designs are pretty good. I especially wanted to recommend his designs on the wicking beds, aquaponic wicking beds, which are a great way. You know, I've talked about the NFT pipes, the deep water culture. Here they are, the NFT pipes, DWC, the deep water culture, big vats of slow-moving, highly oxygenated water. The media beds, I'm using expanded clay pebbles. Other people use river rock. It's pretty heavy, though, be aware, especially when you get it wet. And so those are the different ways you can set up an aquaponics system. And you can hybridize these. Really, so this part is the science of aquaponics. And then the art is putting it into practice in however many creative ways you can come up with. You can hybridize these models. Again, like I said, you need to make sure there's media somewhere in there. There's crevices or whatever, some surface area for the biofilter to be living on and doing its job. But where you put these things and how you integrate it and how all these things work together is really up to you. A couple acronyms or whatever, it's just some basic, most basic designs that will get you started as you start looking for designs are the PIFT, which is the simplest. It is the pump in fish tank. And it's a little rough for the fish because they're in there with a noisy pump, and you will want to take steps to ensure that the fish don't get sucked into the pump. You know, there's you can suffer casualties that way easily. And so some considerations there. But it is really the most. Also, if a leak springs somewhere, then you would pump. You risk pumping all the water out of your fish tank, and then the fish are endangered. So there's less. There's a little more vulnerable of a system than the Shift PIST. I love the names of these acronyms. The Shift PIST, which you can't say with a straight face, is constant height in fish tank and pump in sump tank. In other words, there's a second tank, which is your sump, and the pump goes down there. So your fish are protected from the pump, and they're insulated. You're not going to overpump from their tank. From there, there's a million different, like I said, there's a million different ways you can take your designs, and you look at a bunch of them, get a feel for the way that they all move nutrients around through a system. This whole circulation and a closed loop system is really beautiful and really fun once you've got a feel for it. And you start to think in terms of, well, if I've got a nutrient-rich solution here, couldn't I just put a little bit over here and then run it down the wall and then spread it out through a media thing and have, yes, you can have grow surfaces anywhere you've got light and anywhere you can get that nutrient solution. So go crazy. But again, bottom line, start doing this today in whatever capacity you have room for. Even if that's only the little hydroponic system. You know, I've shown many times this extremely basic hydroponic system I've got in my front yard, which is just a little tub with water that has nutrients in it, and then a pump that puts it down through a PVC pipe, and there's holes in the pipe. This is an NFT system. There's holes in the pipe where little plants are growing out of. That's all there is, a single pump and a pipe with plants in it. Everybody's got room and resources enough to build something like that. And see how it fares. So I would encourage you, I would challenge you even, to go try that today. Let me know how it works for you, and let me know how your preparations are going for the Grand Solar Minimum. I hope you're well, folks. Take care.